Thank
welcome
you, my
here.
Friend.
Hallelujah.
You enjoying God tonight? How many people understand if you don't enjoy God, you won't enjoy heaven? Come on. You know, what I love about God is He enjoys us. He rejoices over us with great joy. And there's nothing you can do to make God not love you. Some of you, you may have things He doesn't like because they're self-destructive. So, you know, that's why God hates sin, because it destroys us. Come on now. But He's a good God all the time. And we're just going to have some fun tonight. I always do. It's Pentecost Sunday. So, I just want you to raise your hands. And Lord, I just pray for a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. I pray for the Holy Spirit to fall on everyone in this place, to quicken our spirits, to quicken our bodies, to quicken our minds. Lord, let us drink of your presence until we can see what we need to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love the Holy Ghost. I love the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'm so grateful they're in agreement. Come on now. Hallelujah. There's no fighting in their midst. They're not jockeying for position. Come on now. So we're going to have some fun tonight. And I actually woke up this morning, and all I could think of is these two words, big surprise. And that God says that there's coming a big surprise. Come on now. And God gave me Habakkuk 1:5, where it says, be astonished. Look among the nations, be astonished. Wonder. He literally said, I'm going to do something that if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Come on now. I mean, God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond. Come on. How many of you have ever seen something and said, I don't believe I saw that? Come on now. You know, we had a paraplegic come out of a chair after 16 years. And it was during worship. It wasn't like I did anything. Like I could anyway. I could probably get him out of the chair. I just have to get him back in. But, you know, God's the healer. But, I remember looking. I said, wow. It's almost like I was trying to say, in my mind, I said, I can't believe what I'm seeing. But at the same time, I wouldn't say it with my mouth. But, you know, I mean, but that's what my mind would say. Whoa, God, now that's impressive. I haven't seen that one before. God said, I'm going to show you some things you've never seen before. So you might as well just get excited. Because if you don't, you know, what I've learned is, you know, I mentioned this morning that what you expect, you attract. See, many times when we look at the word believe or we teach on faith, we should actually just almost substitute the word expectation. Because when we begin to expect God to show up, He does. When we expect God to speak to us, He does. So because the Scripture says, according to our faith, so be it. And you could say, according to our expectation, so be it. You know, God told me before I preach, you know, many times I begin to declare, I see revival, I see revival. And around the country, I'm seeing revival. You know, we're seeing breakouts. Come on now. We're seeing new ground being taken. Come on. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken, but now it's shaken in. Come on. The beginning of the shaking shook everything out. But this shaking is shaking everything back in. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And it's a good thing. So I begin to think about how important it is that we preach the word. You know, you go to a lot of places and there's not much word. You know, but I'm not bored by the word of God. Especially when I realize that every promise is for me. You know, we have a relative now on my wife's side. She's the executor of the will. Trust me, we know the will. Come on now. We know the will inside. We know the will outside. And anytime she makes a little change in the will, guess what? We know that too. You know why? Because our name is in the will. Come on. Now, we want her to live as long as she wants to. But when she goes, we know what's ours. Now, Jesus died. Come on. And he literally willed you. He willed you health. He willed you strength. He willed you joy. He willed you. I mean, he willed you his entire kingdom. Come on now. So you need to understand that. So when we open up this book, it should be talking to you. I remember years ago, and I've told the story before, but I have visitors. But, you know, we were going to a meeting to hear teacher Norval Hayes. And I had been in his meetings before. Well, no, I had never heard of him before at that point. And I love teaching. In fact, I love to take notes. I'm one of those big note takers. When I go to church, I always have a notebook. And if I don't have like a page full of notes, they didn't say anything. I'm a little disappointed, man. I mean, the bigger the page is, the happier I am. You know, many times I have several pages of notes. And I went to hear teacher Norval Hayes, and I was so hungry. And I had about notebook. I had the thing. And he opened up with one scripture, and that's all he did. And it was Psalm 118, verse 17. You shall live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord. Then he went on to tell story after story about miracles he had seen, about people who were supposed to die, but they lived and not died. You know? And I remember sitting there thinking, I like these stories, but give me some word. Give me some word. I mean, come on. I got one sentence. And I walked out of there, and I told my wife, I said, you know, that wasn't my favorite meeting, because we used to have, we'd have nationally known teachers every night of the week at our church. I mean, our church was open 7 days a week. I mean, Oral Roberts attended our church. So, I mean, we literally had the best of the best. So, you know, I was used to being fed, man. I walked out of there, and I was more fed up than fed. I'd be like, okay, you know, until we got home. And when we got home, there was on the answer machine, there was a phone call from my wife's mom that said, if you want to see your grandma alive, you better get to the hospital now. She's in the ICU ward. She's had a massive heart attack. She's not expected to live beyond tonight. So here we are. We just heard how to live and not die. All the miracles. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17. And hearing by the word of God, not just by anything, but by the word. It has to be based on the word. And I remember going into the hospital, and Pam's mom tried to console my wife, which she didn't really need consoling. She was focused. And she was on an assignment. They brought her into the ICU, me and her into the ICU ward. And she looked at Grandma. She said, Grandma, do you want to live or do you want to die? I know if you die, you're going to heaven. But if you want to live, let me know. Because I can believe. And God will give you some more years. And, you know, he wants you fully satisfied. And she had the tubes in her. She was conscious. And she whispered, I want to live. That's all my wife had to do. And she began to pray. She said, God, I thank you that she's going to live and not die. And she's going to declare the works of the Lord. I thank you. It's a done deal, God. And she walked out, and the doctors are trying to console us. My mother-in-law is calling all the relatives in for the funeral. Pam looks at her and said, don't call them. They're going to waste their plane ticket. She's going to be fine. The doctor came over and said, well, you don't understand medicine. And my wife just looked at it and said, she's going to be fine. Doctor didn't understand God. Yeah. You know? And, you know, 10 days later, Grandma walked out of the hospital and lived another 10 years healthy. Then she was ready to go home. Come on. But you shall live. That's what faith does. Yeah. See, without faith, God can't perform what he wants to perform. Come on now. Because it's according to your faith, so be it. Come on. So literally what we want to do is to give you something that give you a faith lift tonight. Come on. Because as your faith grows, heaven comes down and meets you. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, it literally, you know, Jesus said the last days in Luke 18:8, he said, well, you know, and I think this whole script, this church is based on that. Amen. Living faith. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? You know, God is actually looking for believing believers. Yes. You know, not religious people. Yeah. Because you can be religious and not believe anything. Yeah. Or you can believe when we all get to heaven, what they rejoice. And trust me, it doesn't take faith to rejoice once you get in heaven. Amen. It takes faith to rejoice down here. Yes. Come on now. You know what I'm saying? Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. There's nothing to overcome in heaven. Come on. So, you know, when we get to heaven, we're going to operate by sight, not by faith. Think about that. Because literally, there won't be anything that we have to believe for. It's all there. We're just going to discover stuff that we probably should have discovered down here. Come on now. Does this make sense? To me, it does. And the spirit of faith is you believe, therefore you speak. See, my wife believed the word, therefore she released it. Until you release something out of your mouth, you really haven't totally operated in faith. Because we believe into our heart unto righteousness, but we confess into our mouth unto salvation. Until, you know, you never were saved until you said so. Until you actually asked Jesus into your heart. Come on now. There are a lot of people that believed, even the demons believe, but they don't speak. They don't speak faith. Come on now. And I'm asking you today, what are you expecting? Because many of us, honestly, we have stopped being specific with God, which means we're no longer operating by faith. Come on. Getting a little quiet on that one. See, I mentioned something this morning that's so important that God spoke to me. I said, you're not stuck, you just stopped. Many times we think we're stuck, but we just stop believing. We stop walking by faith instead of sight. We actually stop expecting. And the moment you stop expecting, then literally, honestly, there's no neutral. If you're not believing, the devil has access. Because it's the shield of faith that quenches every fiery dart of the evil one. See, how many of you understand this? There's a bridge that takes you from, faith is a bridge that takes you from the natural to the supernatural. It allows you to have relocate in a sense. That things that were impossible become possible because of the bridge of faith. God's already done his part. The question is whether we're going to believe on our part. Because if we don't believe, even though God did it, even though it's God's will, we can't. It's God's will for all men to be saved, but will all men be saved? No. Because not all men will believe. Is it possible for all men to be saved? Yes. Is it God's will? Yes. See, I honestly believe that in healing. I believe it in everything. Because his will should be done on earth as it is in heaven, and there's no sickness in heaven. People say, well, how are people going to die if they don't die sick? Well, die healthy. I've had relatives go to sleep and wake up in heaven. My mother-in-law takes no medicine. She's 92 years old. In fact, when we tell doctors, they say, well, what medicine she's on? And she said, I'm not on any medicine. Then they're calling the people thinking she's lost her mind. You know? And I have to say, no, she's not on any medicine. I mean, she may take 2 aspirin a year, if that. So, you know, when she dies, she's going to die healthy. You know? That's the way to go, baby. And I believe God wants to restore some of us to health. Come on now. If we believe, we'll see the glory of God. If we honestly believe that nothing's impossible to them that believes. It's impossible to be impossible if we're believing. Come on. See, I've learned certain things about expectation. You know, I'll never forget years ago I was preaching at a meeting in Kansas. And this girl now is 40 years old, but she was six. She has severe club foot. She now lives in Tulsa. But back in those days, she was in a small town in western Kansas. And I was coming there, and we were preaching a miracle service. And she walked up to me before. She's the cutest little thing. And she, back in those days, we always wore suits. So they tugged the suit jacket, and that was a Sunday night service. But she looked up at me, and she said, "I'm supposed to be healed tonight." I said, "Do you want me to pray for you now?" She said, "No, I'll tell you when." Little bossy little thing, but she was cute. Well, you could look down, and you know she had a deformed foot. Severely deformed. What I didn't know is that she was in kindergarten. She told her whole class that Monday morning she was going to come in with two good feet. She not only did that, she forced her parents to go out and get her shoes before the meeting. So she said, "I have a new pair of shoes for my new feet." So here we are. You know, her expectancy is so great. And we had a great meeting that night. And power of God was flowing. Miracles are happening. And she didn't come up for anything yet. Then at the very end, she comes and pulls the coattail. She said, "Now." I said, "Now what?" She said, "Now I want my foot to be healed." "It's time." I said, "If you say it's time, honey." And I asked the Holy Spirit what to do, and he said, "Put her on a chair and speak to the foot and command it to become normal. Command the toes to come out, command everything to straighten back up." So I did exactly what God said, and nothing. And, you know, unfortunately, I'm right in front of the whole congregation. And they're staring, I'm staring. We're both expecting, like, woo! Nothing. So then I pray a little louder. Nothing. So then I slap the foot a little bit. Nothing. Then, you could feel, like, the air going out of the congregation. And I did everything I knew. And at the very end, the girl was the only one happy. I faked it. I said, "Keep believing God." What I really meant was, man, that's heartbreaking. And, you know, she's singing in the car her parents are dreading when she wakes up in the morning in the same condition. In fact, she looked at me. She said, I got it. And I'm looking at her foot. Now, we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. But my attitude is, "Don't you wish?" Come on now. But I'm trying. I'm not saying it, but that's what I'm thinking. Well, she wakes up the next morning, and of course, her parents didn't sleep a lick that night. And she comes running down the stairs with her new shoes on, with her new foot. Totally whole. Totally healed. Still is today. Talks about it today. But it's the faith of a little child. Come on now. See, I believe if we would actually begin to believe God like little children. Come on. Hallelujah. She expected. She received what she expected. See, I've learned that about God. You don't have to worry about God disappointing you. You know, man will disappoint you. And it may not exactly come when you think it will, but surely will come. Come on now. Come on. See, I believe it's time to believe God like never before. I believe if God shows you something, he'll show you something, and it's a test to see if you'll believe it. Come on. Do you believe this? You know, I was teaching righteousness at Victory Bible Institute. And, you know, God can use childlike faith, but he can use old faith. And Brother Seitzer was there. I'll never forget him because you talk about faith. This man literally registered for 2 years of Bible school at age 96. He was the oldest Bible school student we ever had. 96 years old, and he paid both years up front. That's faith. And I'm teaching on a Sunday morning class. We had about 500 students or so. And in my morning classes, I might take questions at the end, but no one was to interrupt me. But when you're 96 years old, you don't play by anybody's rules. Come on now. See, I can't wait to get old enough where I can get away with what I want to do. Come on now. Because when you're really young, you can say whatever you want. And when you're really old, you can say whatever you want. In between, you don't get away with anything. So Brother Seitzer stood up in the middle of my class. Now, when a 96-year-old man stands up, that's an accomplishment. He said, I found my ministry. I looked at him. I thought he'd lost something. He said, I found it. I said, what'd you find? He said, I found my ministry. I said, Brother Seitzer, what's your ministry? He said, I got a ministry to old people. Well, I looked at him. He's 96 years old. I said, I can see that. Well, see, he didn't just find it. He did it. He actually put some traction to it. His daughter, who was in her 70s, would push him into every old age home, and he spoke 10 times a week at every nursing home in Tulsa, and she would roll him in because he didn't want to show off. Then he'd stand up and say, "Oh, people, listen to me." And when he was 101 years old, he didn't die. He just probably moved. He's probably in Hawaii surfing or something. But the bottom line is he believed what God showed him. I'm asking, do you believe that God's able to perform what he shows you? Do you actually believe his word when you got his word on? Is his word good for you? Because honestly, his word is good, but if you don't believe it, it's not good for you because you have to mix faith with it. See, God says, how long are you going to live like mere men? In 1 Corinthians 3:3, what he's saying is, how long are you going to operate just like the world operates? How long are we going to stay in the natural when we're called to be supernatural? God told me years ago, it's not natural for such supernatural people to be so natural. Think about that. That he wants to clothe us with power. That he really wants signs and wonders to follow us. That I don't only believe this. I've sold out to this faith thing. You know? I mean, you know, people who know me, they know that without faith you can't please God. Why? Because without faith his will can't be done. His will cannot be done on earth without faith. It takes faith to actually believe and pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And actually believe it. It takes faith to move mountains. It takes faith to see. You know, your kids that are going hog wild the wrong direction get turned around. It takes faith. You know, in my case, with my son, many of you know his story. Born with no oxygen to his brain for 45 minutes, they left him there to die. Said he'd be brain damaged all his life. You know what they call him now? Genius. You know, I really think it's one of the weirdest things is the same hospital that labeled him is using the product he created to save lives. Come on now. That's what God does. But guess what? If God didn't just do it, he needs someone to believe on earth. Come on now. He needs someone to stand in the gap. And in this case, I was the someone that said, he shall live and not die. No devil in hell is going to take my baby. And even when I heard the report of the doctor, I believed the report of the Lord. Come on. Now, the doctor wasn't lying. He was telling temporal truth. But God's eternal truth can override or trump, Amen. Come on, temporal truth. See, I, you know, constantly I'm asking you, what do you believe and what are you believing for? I mean, you know, I'm watching God. You know, what faith can do is amazing miracles. Miracles, God doesn't even call them miracles. He calls them work. How do you work the works of God? You believe. It should be the norm to see signs, wonders, and miracles. It should be the norm. We shouldn't be shocked when something good happens that way. We should be surprised when it doesn't. See, we're thrilled when we see faith. But if you watch Jesus, he was always correcting unbelief. How long do I have to be with you? Why did you doubt? Where's your faith? I've heard God, many times God speaks to me that way. I don't know about you. When are you really going to believe me? Come on. I just recently did a meeting in, well, February of this year. And it was you talk about a weekend. I had a retreat for the whole church. I had a leadership retreat. We put in four different services in the church. And then the youth said, can you do a youth conference? I said, okay. But the youth conference was amazing because the pastor, all the time I was there, was nervous. Because the pastor said, they want to hold the youth conference in our sanctuary. He said, but they only have 20 youth. They used to have maybe 50 or 60, but a lot of them graduated. And he said, I want them to hold it in the cafe that seats 150 people. So there wouldn't be, all these kids wouldn't be lost. I mean, just to, and they said, no, we want to change this area. We're not here for something small. And I know what was happening. I was listening to him. And, you know, he's real nervous all week. I said, Pastor, I'm so glad they have more faith than you do. I said, they see it. You don't. I said, you're nervous because you think they're going to be disappointed, and they're thrilled because they expect God to show up. And not only God, but bring people. And they've invited, I mean, they took out ads, they went, I mean, it was just a big deal, a passion conference. And that night, I was so thrilled to see 16 youth groups came in, all the sports teams from the local high schools came in, lot of unsaved people in the place. And I gave an altar call, and the whole, I mean, it just erupted. And I thought, whoa. And the place was packed. Then at the very end of the service, I challenged them. I said, how many of you will create the next Jesus movement in this area? I said, if you'll buy into it, I guarantee you that you can make history in this region. Now, you got to understand something. Even the ones who just got saved were all up. They were all in. And they've been holding a conference once a month, not with me coming, but just with God showing up in different people. And literally, it just keeps growing and growing and growing and growing. That's what faith does. Faith may start small. It's like kingdom stuff. See, there's no kingdom manifestation when someone doesn't believe. You know? We're not here just to fit in. We're here to take over. Come on now. I don't know about you. Whatever miracle you need, I'm telling you, believe God, it's yours. Believe God. It's a guaranteed deal on his end. He's waiting to perform his word. He's waiting for someone. He said, come on, give me permission because I cannot invade the earth without your faith because I've given it to you for a season. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, but he's given us the deed for a season. That's why I said, whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you loose will be loosed. Come on. You know? Basically, he told us to pray the Lord's Prayer to give him permission for his will to be done. See, faith accesses the mind of Christ. See, if you believe, God will begin to show you things other people can't see. It's revelation knowledge. Faith is seeing, saying, and sowing. I don't know about you. I am ready to see an explosion. I'm ready to see people come alive. I'm ready to see this country get turned back to God. I'm ready to see God take back the school systems. Guess what? If he was ruling the school systems, we wouldn't have this shooting. You know? When I was growing up, they still had prayer in schools, at least early on. And guess what? There was no shooting in school. You take God out, the devil gets in. Come on now. You know? I mean, and then we wonder why there's a spirit of murder when we murder babies all the time. You know? But the bottom line is we're going to see this thing overturned. God has literally said, I'm about ready to overturn some stuff, at least for a season. There's going to be a season where the righteous will rule. Come on now. I believe that. I don't believe the worst times are ahead of us. I believe the best times are ahead of us. Come on. And God said, I'm going to show you things I've freely given you. I'm going to begin to open up. He said, natural mind is not seen, nor natural ear hear what I've prepared for you. But the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to show you it. You know? I love the fact that my son, when God shows him things, he just believes it. I love it. God told him, as a seven-year-old, he said, you got a billion-dollar brain. He believed it. And honestly, now it's stretching almost to a $1 trillion brain. Because, you know, the area he's involved in is producing hundreds of billions of dollars. Just in the business realm. But there's a purpose in that, because my son is not a hoarder, he's a giver. So a lot of the people around the world are benefiting from his prosperity. And how do you know that God wants to do things through his church, get things to us to get through us? He wants to bless us to make us a blessing. He wants to give us ideas that will unlock and make people's lives better. Come on now. You know, God is the know-it-all. And he wants us to know at least some of the stuff that he knows. Our thoughts are not his thoughts, but then he rains down his thoughts. And if we believe it, see, he'll show it to us, but do you believe it? You know? God's always trying to stretch you to believe. He'll show you, do you believe that? There are things right now I'm working on. I know what God's told me and even what he showed me. But I also know that I am limiting still. Come on. How many of you can say, you know, there's areas in your life you're limiting God? And you know, God's just saying, take the limits off. Take the caps off. If it's based on what he can do instead of what I can do. See, my problem is I still think it's based on what I can do. And because I think of what I can do, it's limited, very limited. But God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond. He said, I'll build the church. The gates of hell won't prevail against what I build. You build it. Come on. You labor in vain. You know? It's all vanity unless God builds it. But if you believe it, something's going to happen. See, faith is simply acting like what God says is true is true. Come on. It's calling things that are not yet visible to anybody else but your reality now because God showed it to you. As though they are. Calling things that are not as though they are. I kept saying, my son's healed. I'll never forget when the doctor told me he's going to be brain damaged. And I looked at the doctor. I said, he's healed. And the doctor said, you don't understand medicine. I said, you don't understand God. And I watched that death angel leave the room. And when I didn't know what God was going to, I did not know that God was going to give my son a supernatural brain. Which in the natural, his IQ is off the charts. I mean, the moment he could speak, he could read. Well, we were laughing the other day when he's 3 years old. He was at a playground with another kid. In fact, I was talking to the mother, and he said, do you remember your son? He said, my son's playing on the swings. Your son's trying to figure out how many grains of sand is in the playground by doing circumference, volume, and, you know. You know, I mean, that's the difference, man. That's not normal. That is just not normal. But it works. Come on now. Because, you know, see, prayer is the bridge to communicating with God. You know, faith is the movement you take on the bridge. If your faith doesn't move your feet and your mouth, it's not faith. You still have to believe. You still have to act. And God actually expects you to do something. Faith without works is dead. Come on. You know, that's James 2:26, but faith without works is dead. You know, we're constantly acting on the word, doing what God shows us to do. Sometimes God has to convince me for a long period of time. But I'm asking it tonight. I say, again, what do you need from God? He already got it for you. What family members do you want to see God turn around? You know, it's God's will that you and your household be saved and serve God. That's the will of God, you know. You just lay hold of the promises and don't let go. Be like a bulldog. Come on now. Put your jaw on it. A bridge is only as useful as you make it. An unused bridge is a useless bridge. And see how many people understand God has given every believer a bridge that reaches directly into his throne room. You have equal access to the throne room of God. And guess what? You have mercy for your mistakes. And you have grace for your future. Come on. So guess what? We've all made mistakes. Thank God there's always mercy. There's nobody in here that's perfect. A lot of people stop believing because they look at their track record. I believe because I look at God's track record. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know there are things I didn't do right, but I get a chance to do it over. Come on. I may not be able to go back and make it right, but I can go forward and make it right. How many of you know God literally, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. The prayer of faith will move mountains. The prayer of faith, you know, I literally believe God is trying to, on the inside of you. You know what I'm saying? Get the fight back, the fight of faith. You know, the reason why most believers don't fight is they already see themselves as defeated. If you see yourself as victorious, you'll be willing to fight. If you know you cannot lose, you'll stay in until you win. Come on. Only a fool will drop out of something where it's a guaranteed victory. And when you're in a fight, a fixed fight. See, nothing will keep you stuck in your circumstances like unbelief. God's always dealing with unbelief. He's always uprooting unbelief. There are places Jesus even showed up and could do no mighty miracles because of people's unbelief. Was he capable of doing it? Yes. But he wasn't capable of doing it without their cooperation. There are places I walk away and I feel frustrated because I knew there was more grace available than the people accessed. And to be honest with you, there are times I know it wasn't me. I just knew they just weren't at a place where they wanted what God wanted. Come on. I mean, Jesus got upset with people's the hardness of their heart, the unbelief. There are places he went, he could only do a few little things when he wanted to do a big thing. And what God wants to do is he wants to stretch us on the inside. And I don't care how young or how old you are. Faith should always be growing. Come on. Faith in God should always be growing. I don't care, you know. I mean, you know, I want to be walking in the miraculous the day I die. In fact, when they bury me, I hope they put me right next to someone else and we can raise the dead even in that. Come on now. Hey, worked for Elijah. Come on. See, unbelief is so powerful, it will literally stop God's work in your life. You know, if you believe in your heart and doubt not, you can speak to the mountain. It will obey you. But guess what? If there's doubt, God don't want us double-minded. He doesn't, you know, I've said this way before. I said, you know, it would really hurt me if I ever heard my son talking to his friends. Especially when I was, you know, as a little boy. If I heard him say, well, my daddy promised me that I was going to do so-and-so, but I'm not sure. You never know what my daddy's going to do. I know he said he's going to do this. But, I can't count on it. You know, and we all do that all the time. God spoke in his word. He said, I'm doing this for you. And he said, well, I don't know if I can count on it. What you're doing is calling God a liar. Come on. Unbelief calls God a liar. It questions not only God's ability, but his integrity. Come on. Does this make sense? See, you'll never cross the bridge from the natural to the supernatural with unbelief. It's simply not possible. When you pray, God is not only listening to your words, but to your heart to see if you really believe it. That's why if you ask for wisdom and you doubt not in your heart, you know, guess what? You'll receive liberally. But a double-minded man can't receive anything. You can't have a double expectation. So I always expect to see the miraculous. Always. I always expect to win. I love my son. He always said, I always expect to see the next level in the tech world. That's why he's on teams. And they basically say he can see what we can't see, which makes him a blank check. Well, the reason he can see what they can't see is he actually believes he can. I'm asking you, where have you stopped in your belief? If you think it's too late, it is. Come on. You can think yourself happy and you can think yourself sad. You know, you can look at what you don't have or you can look at what you do have. But, you know, God says have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. He said, don't doubt in your heart. Believe that what you say will happen. And when you pray, believe you received it and you shall have it. Even when you pray, believe it's yours. Believe it's a done deal. Look for it. It's in the mail. It may not have arrived yet, but it's in the mail. Surely it will come. Surely my healing will manifest. Surely my blessing. So you know, the doctors were still giving me one report, but I already had the report of the Lord. It was a done deal that my son was going to walk in total victory. He was going to be whole. He's going to be healthy. Come on. I do that in my own life. You know, every one of the times, it doesn't mean attacks don't hit. It's just I don't allow them to stick around. Why? Because I believe God. Come on. And in the midst of situations, still believe God. You know, God just, people say, what if you die in faith? That's a good way to die. Come on. I mean, what would happen if you die? We're all going to die someday. I remember, you know, someone attacking Oral Roberts, and it's probably in the healing book too. I mean, you know, the reporters were saying, we know someone you prayed for who died. He laughed. He said, everyone I pray for, if Jesus doesn't return in their lifetime, they're going to die. He said, the difference is some of the people I prayed for were supposed to die 30 years ago. And they're still alive today. Some of them died 10 years afterwards, but they were supposed to die, you know, at that moment. So faith produced a result. I guarantee you, unbelief never produces anything but sorrow. And come on. So, I mean, you never lose by faith. Faith pleases God. Come on. Does this make sense? See, when Jesus, when they brought that little demon-possessed boy to him in Matthew 17, and they tried to cast out the demons, the disciples did, and finally the father came to Jesus and said, well, hey, can you help me? He said, I brought him to the disciples. They couldn't do it. He upbraided them. He said, where's your faith? How long do I have to put up with you? Bring the boy to me. And he, in one word, he cast out that demon, and the little boy was healed. Disciples came and said, how come we couldn't do it? He said, this only comes through with prayer and fasting. You weren't in the position. Now work on your faith. Now every time I hit a failure, I work on my faith. Because it doesn't have to be final. Come on. You know what I'm saying? I always dig deeper into God and say, okay, God, I don't believe that was your will, so let me see. I need to be developed so I can see more of your will done on earth. Come on now. God, I don't have all the answers, but you do, and I'm going to you. I'm pressing in because there's more. Is this okay? See, I've learned that. See, kingdom prayer focuses on the spiritual first. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, I've learned there are times I cannot allow what I see to dictate. One of the greatest miracles we had happened several years ago, and my wife had a lady that she went to high school with, and she calls up and she's crying. She said, do you still know how to pray? Because my wife was always known for her prayer life. And my wife said yes. She hadn't talked to her in years. And she said, my son was in, you know, on our boat, and he got caught underneath the boat and he got stuck in the propeller. And he said, I'm at the ICU ward, and they're not sure he's going to make it. So my wife prayed, and she said, well, you know, and they're from the Northeast, and I'm from Tulsa, but I was in the Northeast. They said, do you mind if my husband comes by and visits the hospital? And I was preaching that night. It was a three-hour drive to the hospital afterwards. So I got there around 2 in the morning. And I'll never forget, they took me to the ICU ward. I didn't meet the father. He wasn't there. He went home to get some rest. He'd been there for several days. But they took me into the ICU ward, and I'm not squeamish. But what I saw, I didn't see any skin from the top of the head to about the middle of the chest. All I saw was raw meat in front of me on a ventilator, and I'm looking, and I almost just threw up right in the, and I just had to close my eyes to pray. And I'll never forget just praying that prayer, walking out of there. I did my best to believe God. I said, God, I'm not moved by what I see. I still believe it's your will that he be whole, healthy, totally restored. Well, it was several months later, we got a phone call, and it was from the father. He said, what did you do to my son? And I said, what do you mean? He said, you prayed for him, and immediately his vital signs changed. He was supposed to go through all these operations with skin graft, and the skin began to regrow on him. And if you see him today, you would never know he was ever in an accident. That's what God can do. I'm going to say, I mean, you know, that's an unusual thing, but not for God. It was unusual for me. But I found out if I don't believe God, I'll never see that. If I don't believe God, I won't see someone's kid instantaneously delivered from drugs. If I don't believe God, I won't see the miracles. If we don't believe God, we won't see the nation changed. Come on. If we don't believe God, we won't actually see God. Because if you believe, you'll see his glory. Come on. I hear God. He said, oh, that my people would just believe me. Come on. You hear what I'm saying? See, a lot of the people today are living with a great deal of misery because they refuse to go to the great physician and find out what the root of the cause is. And I guarantee the root of every cause will always tie into some level of unbelief. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You know? Come on. See, when you cross the bridge of faith, God can come out of nowhere and change things in a moment. I love the suddenlies. But the suddenlies come because someone believed. Someone had a dogged faith. Come on. Someone believed. You know, I dealt with someone that was in the last stage of liver cancer. And it's funny, it was just a word of knowledge. I said, someone has cirrhosis of the liver. And I heard this lady scream. Well, it wasn't her. It was her dad that was next to her. They brought him forward. And you know, to this day, she said, remember 15 years ago when you prayed for my dad? He said, no, you know. They said he was delivered from alcoholism and his liver is as good as it's ever been. They had given him by that time, only a few weeks to live. But I found out, but God comes because someone believed God. Come on now. It takes someone to believe God, but God. I'm asking you to get your faith up. I'm asking you to get your expectation up. I hear people say, I don't want to believe because I may be disappointed. I said, the reason you don't believe is you are disappointed. Come on now. You're living in perpetual disappointment or you're living by faith. It's impossible to be living in faith and be disappointed. And it's impossible to be disappointed on a regular basis and live by faith. In that area of disappointment, you're not believing. Come on. Am I helping you? See, what I've learned, it doesn't take a big faith. It just takes mustard seed faith. See, what I've learned about the seed itself is mighty. Come on. It may be tiny. It may be, you know, it's like the oak seed. You can plant an oak seed in a concrete wall, and it will literally break the wall apart. There's so much potency in the seed. If all of a sudden you start believing, that seed begins to grow and grow. It explodes every obstacle out of the way. Come on. Hear what I'm saying. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. With a heart, man believes. You know? God seems to call a wicked, unbelieving heart. He puts them both together. What I've learned is I don't want God to look and say, you know, he could have had this, but this is what he got. I want to have everything God has for me. If you don't want yours, I'll take it. Come on. Is this okay? Some people, they have a dead faith. See, they don't access. What I found out is faith is access. Honestly, the more you access God, see, we're going to find out tomorrow that your righteousness never grows. You'll never get any more righteousness than you did at salvation. But faith should be ever increasing. Come on. But you see, no, your righteousness is a gift. But your faith is something that can be developed. And it's supposed to be developed. You should be stronger today. I'll be honest with you. I face situations today. I've got a track record with God. So when I see something that's totally impossible in the natural, I've already seen God do the impossible in the natural. So I expect him to do what he's done before. Come on. Now, some of you, maybe you've never seen it, but if you believe it, you'll see it for the first time, and then you get a track record. Come on. You know, let me share. We're going to pray for you in a second. Is this okay tonight? Yeah. I was in a situation when I first started working at Farmers Insurance Group, and it's actually the first miracle in my life. Well, I saw little healings. But this one, you know, I used to not like to pray for the sick because half the people I prayed for got worse. I mean, I prayed for someone with a headache and they died. So, you know, I almost said, no. We want you to pray for me. I said, no, you don't. Come on. But everybody, it seemed like everywhere I went, people got saved. A ton of people got saved. You know. And I remember, you know, I was working with Farmers Insurance Group, and I when I first started there, I told everybody I was a Christian. I witnessed everybody. And then I noticed that my secretary, every single time there was a break, she'd go in the side room and cry. She was a beautiful lady, 19 years old, young girl, very talented, beautiful young lady. I was in my 20s at the time. I remember, though, my heart went out to her. I asked people, I said, what's wrong with her? They said she was married a few months ago, and her husband was in a motorcycle accident, and he's basically at home as a paraplegic. He's paralyzed from the neck down. And they said, brain damage. They said we're working the claim. I thought, oh. And the Lord spoke to me and said, if you pray for her, I'll heal her husband. And I said, no, you won't. I said, Lord, I'm not Oral Roberts. I'm Woody Woodson. If they need to get saved, I can get them saved. They need to get healed. They need Oral or somebody like that. They don't need me. You know, they got enough problems. He said, if you pray for her. And I'll never forget that. And I just kept trying to ignore her. I told my wife, she said, obey God. I hate when she said obey God. Because when my wife says obey God, it's when I'm not. I figure it's easy for you to say because you're not the one that's going to fail. Come on. Then I went and I'm teaching faith in the Bible school. Nothing's impossible with him to believe. Wish I did. Come on. And then in the midst of that, I went to hear Mario Murillo. He's at church at Victory. And he makes a statement. He says, sometimes your obedience will take you beyond your faith. And I honestly believe actually your obedience will reveal your faith. You just don't know you have it. Come on. And when I heard it, I didn't want to believe it, but God said, I'm talking to you. So, you know, 3 days, my secretary would go in the side room and cry. I'd go out in the parking lot and cry because I didn't want to obey God. After a while, I just told my wife, I said, tomorrow I'm praying for her, not because I believe it's going to work, just to get God off my back. I mean, at least I'll know I did my part. And she went in, she was in the break room crying. I went in, I knocked on the door, came in, I said, Joe. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. She said, you tell them the moment you pray for her husband's healed. I said, hang on, it's not going to work anyway. So I said, Joe, God just spoke to me and said, the moment I pray for you, your husband's going to be healed. She looked at me and she said, well, it can't hurt. I said, she doesn't have any faith either. That's what I'm thinking. So I pray. And sure enough, you know, I prayed loud. I prayed soft. I floated across the room. I did my little Catherine Coleman. I had seen Catherine and whoo, the Holy Spirit. And whoo, I used that weird voice. I did everything I knew to work up an anointing. Nothing. The only thing I felt was stupid. In fact, it was so bad, she started consoling me. You tried. It's okay. Don't feel so bad. I mean, I'm crying. You know, I'm crying. She has her husband as a paraplegic. I'm crying. Why? Because I feel so stupid. And she says, it'll be okay. It'll be okay. Well, then I have to teach faith at night. Come on. And pretend I believed it. So I teach in faith at night. Well, the next morning when I get into the office, the whole place is buzzing. In fact, I went home and told my wife, I said, yeah, I obeyed God. It's your fault. She said, at least you obeyed God. I walked in the next morning. My secretary runs up to me, gives me a big hug. She said, "You won't believe what happened last night." So when I got home from work, my husband was out of the wheelchair, walking around, cooked me dinner. And within a month, he was back actually climbing telephone poles for the telephone company and doing, I mean, and we have, you know, Farmers Insurance Group had the x-rays of before and after where God replaced parts of the brain, parts of the, and why? Because God said. And God literally, he had to have someone who dumb enough to at least obey. Come on now. Because there will be no miracles unless you're least willing to obey. Come on now. The results are up to God. I couldn't make that happen. You got to be kidding. But you know, the neat thing is it did happen. It happened because, honestly, what I believed, it released God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe God wants us to release our faith. Release your faith for your lost loved ones. Release your faith for whatever situation you're in. Some of you, things have been held up for years and years and years. Believe God once and for all that God's going to finalize it so you can move on. Come on now. You know, we don't have to be stuck. Come on. And the only thing that will unstick us is our faith. Come on. Because as long as we believe like we believe, we're going to receive what we received, which is not much. Am I helping you? Come on. See, I don't know about your faith can make you whole, every whit whole. There's a faith in you that signs follow. There's a faith where nothing's impossible. And it's time for living faith to have a living faith. Come on. It's time for every one of you as believers to be believing believers. What would happen if we had a faith explosion? What would happen if we started expecting God? Maybe he wouldn't show up many times the way, but he'd show up. What would happen if we break out of our religious tradition and actually experience Jesus? What would happen? You know, I've always heard God say, you know, God said, you've gone this far by faith, but there's a lot longer to go. And he said, you've been walking around this mountain long enough. It's time to reignite with him. Now, I have areas of my life that are working great. I have other areas of my life that aren't working at all because I'm not working my faith in them. And guess what? They're not working because I'm not believing. And it's time I believe the greatest thing we have to repent of is unbelief. And some of us, we have to say, God, I believe. Help me out of my unbelief. Nothing wrong with that. Lord, I believe on one level, but I know there's a higher level of faith in where I believe. I love what's going on in the Western Pennsylvania right now where those kids are near New York, actually, New York borderline. Because they got their faith working so well. It's influencing the schools. It's influencing everything. They're watching their family members being drawn into the kingdom just because they're believing. All of a sudden, they expect God to show. Started with just a little seed. Next thing you know, you just expect. You expect. It keeps growing and growing and growing. It's ever-increasing faith. I could say I want every head bowed, no one looking around, but some of you will fall asleep. If you're not asleep yet, you'll probably fall asleep then. Because I know, you know, it gets long at times. But I need to ask a question. Is there anyone here that maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or maybe you walked away from him and you need to come back? Is there anyone that said, I need to get right with God tonight? If that's you, raise your hand, anybody. You know you're okay? But how many of you tonight would say, you're talking to me tonight, though. I've got to get my faith back into place. I got to get to believe in God again. How many of you have mountains that need to move? That's sometimes an indication we're not been applying our faith much. We did that first, and then when they didn't move when we thought they should move. Because faith and patience. So sometimes it wasn't a faith problem, it was a patience problem, which didn't hold our faith where it needed to be held. So we got to the place where we just accepted the natural instead of believing for the supernatural. But if you want to go beyond tonight, I'm going to pray for a faith lift tonight. And if you want that, I want to pray for you. If you need healing in your body, let me know. I'm going to pray that the healing be manifest. By His stripes you were healed. I'm not trying to get God to heal you. He did 2,000 years ago. I'm trying to get you in a position where you can receive what He's already done for you. Come on now. But how many of you tonight said, that's me. If you want prayer, I want you to come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Come on up. We don't believe God. Why not? You know, there are things right now I put my faith on for over 30 years, and I've still got my faith on them. There are things that things are happening so quickly right now. There are things I actually shelved because I thought it was past its time, and God's actually revisited, said, no, 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 you're not allowed to shelve that. I had my plans made out, and then God changed them. I was going to pass the baton, and I had three major men of God call me in 1 week, and two of them didn't even know me. They knew of me. They didn't know me. They said, the Lord told me to tell you that you're not supposed to pass the baton. You're supposed to run with them for a while. They all used that terminology, and literally, I had been talking to my wife for a couple of years, time to pass the baton. Let's believe God together. And let's start off by honestly letting God know, God, forgive us for unbelief. Father, right now we repent. God, we're going to a higher level. We're no longer going to accept the norm that we've accepted because it's not normal to you, God. So, God, we're going to go back to your word. Now, we can't make it happen. You're watching over your word to perform it. But we can at least believe. So, Father, we're not going to give up on it. We're not giving up on the dream. We're not giving up on it. God, we're believing, God, for our miracle or for our kids' miracle or our for this city's miracle. God, give us the territory that you promised us years ago. That, Lord, we won't look back and say, you know, we never got it. At least let us possess a portion so we can hand it off. Hand it off with momentum. So right now, Father, I release that anointing. Father, there is a faith thing going on. I thank you for the miracle. I thank you, God, for all the good things you've done in my brother's life. I thank you for the glory of God. I thank you, God, for the breakthroughs. I thank you, God, that, Lord, you are restoring everything. We release that healing power now and the glory all over his life. I thank you for a living faith that's active in Jesus' name. See, we just need to continue to say what God says. That's all. Until it happens. Until it happens. You know, I have a friend of mine in Western Pennsylvania. He told his people 4 years ago, God spoke to him that he was supposed to have a sports ministry in Nairobi. And he said, we're supposed to have sports clubs in every village. This last year, he was visiting Nairobi, and for some reason, he met the president of Nairobi. And they said, he mentioned, he said, well, I've always had this in my heart. The guy calls up the guy over all the sports in the nation. And he said, here we are. We expected to start with one village. And the guy said, well, there's 500,000 kids that we need you to service. Yeah. So he said, now this thing's exploding on him. But God showed him years ago. He had no way of making it happen. See, we're trying to figure out how's it going to happen. How's it going? But God. I have no idea how God's going to do it. I've tried to open doors for years, and then I sit in an airplane, and the doors open automatically. God just happens to sit me next to the people. I don't even know who they are, but they do. See, I believe God's making divine connections. And this is a time now where things that he spoke years ago, it's time to get your faith back on them. And you've got to play a part in it. That's your part. Your part's to believe. God's part is to perform. But God says, I'm about ready to draw this thing out. And we're about ready to see a breakthrough like never before. Things I promised. God will not be a debtor. Understand that. If he doesn't perform his word and you believe that he's in debt, he will not be a debtor. Come on. He's not someone that makes empty promises. Every promise of God has the power to fulfill it in it. Something's beginning to break right now. Both the prophetic word and the written word that he has illuminated in your life. This is what you are. You're a prophetic ministry in this area. You know, you're a bridge to heaven to earth. Gateway Church. That's what you've been called to. Not to do a little thing in the corner. See, God likes faithful in little, but he doesn't expect it to stay. He wants to make us faithful over much. And he don't look. He said, well, you know, you should have done it back then. He said, no. He didn't tell Joshua and Caleb, hey, guys, that generation blew it. Sorry. In fact, Caleb said, give me my mountain. They said, even Joshua said, you know how old you are, man? He said, I'm just as strong as I was back then. See, God's stirring that faith, and that faith will produce everything you need because the faith attaches to God, and God is the one who's performing it. There's life coming now. There's healing coming now. There's a flow coming now. Oh. Revelation after revelation of the kingdom being manifest. That's the glory of God right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. You might as well get ready for it because God's watching over his word to perform it. Come on now. It's not by our power. It's not by our might. It's the Spirit of God. God doesn't make empty promises. Oh, has he said it? Will he not do it? Has he spoken? Will he not come to pass? See, I believe that. I believe every one of us, God is trying to promote us as we believe. So we can promote the kingdom. So we can promote the kingdom. See, I've learned faith makes me look better than I am. Because all of a sudden, God uses me just as basically his body on earth for his will to be done on earth. Because we believe and because we love. Faith, literally, faith works by love. The reason I believe for people's miracles is God loves the people. That's why. The reason I won't quit is because love demands I don't quit. And that's why you're going to see your miracle. It's your turn now. It's your turn now. You know, I love it when I see miracles. Sometimes I say, God, when's my turn? It's coming. I get excited when anyone gets their miracle because I know mine may be next. Come on now. I've learned not to get upset because someone got theirs and they were only believing for a week. And I may have been believing for years. But the bottom line is the same God that got them theirs is going to get me mine. And that anointing is coming on your life and that strength is coming back in you. It's all by faith. It's all by faith in God. That's the anointing of God all over your life. God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can even ask or think. I've learned sometimes I believe God on one level, he shows up on another. Because he honors faith. And he said, because you thought this was big, I'm going to begin to redefine big. Oh. You know, we have a church now that, you know, it's just exploding. Because when I told them, I said, you don't need money, you need faith. You don't have to pay for it, you can believe for it. I said, don't go out and sign anything. But why not? Well, he started believing these huge things. Guess what? God began to bring businessmen his way. And everything he was believing for was not for him. And it wasn't just showing stuff off. It was to bless the community. And guess what? People began to come because all of a sudden faith was being spoken. And when faith is spoken, vision is received. Come on now. And God's trying to bring us to a place in our life where we don't limit him. We say, God, you know, I can't do this, but I can believe you. And I've learned when we believe God, he shows up. And the first thing he does is pour out grace. Because faith accesses grace. And sometimes even when we're going through tough times, his grace is more than enough. So what he does is he pours out grace because we believe him. And all of a sudden, what would have been hard becomes easier. God is beginning to give you a stronger faith than ever before again. It's like this is a new season. You know, I love it when it makes us childlike again. Come on. You know, my wife sometimes says, well, you believe childlike. Sometimes it comes out as childish. But still, it's time to get fun again because it's only fun when we believe. You know, this is a new season. God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. He has a way of doing that. And he's going to make up for the years the cankerworm has eaten. I love it when God restores things. I look at my family, and when I first got in, my whole family was ungodly. They used his name in vain. I did too before I got saved. And now we do family reunions, and most of them are elders and pastors, and, you know, and I was the first one in. And now it's like having a revival services every time we have a meeting. And all I can say is Acts 16:31 works, both me and my household shall be saved. God is doing a mighty thing, and he's going to revisit things he's promised because it's not over yet. Come on now. See, that's what I've learned. Sometimes we almost give up on things that God doesn't want us giving up on because he promised it. And if he promised it, he can perform the promise. And when he performs the promise, he gets the glory. And sometimes he waits so long, everyone knows it wasn't you. You know? We're seeing things explode in our ministry at a time where I said, God, you know, when I was younger, I had the energy. Now it's not by my power. It's not by my might because I don't have the power and I don't have the might, but it's by the Spirit of God. And God's about ready to perform that which he's told you. And he's doing that thing in you. And that healing virtue is flowing, the anointing is flowing, and you might as well have some fun. Come on now. You know, sometimes all it takes faith to just drink from the Spirit of God. Come on. God's restoring stuff. Yes, yes. It's time to restore, restore, restore. I see the word restore all over you. Restore, restore, restore. God said, I'm gonna restore. I'm gonna make up. I'm going to bring back. I'm going to fill the voids. Come on now. See, the enemy steals, but God has a way of bringing everything back. You know, it's like a country song in reverse is the gospel. You get everything back, but yet actually better than whatever you had before. And that's what God wants to do because he came to give us life and too much of it, life more abundantly. And I release that anointing now in the name of Jesus. And I declare God. I say, devil, you get your hands off of God's property now. I call this assignment against you over in the name of Jesus. I break its power and I declare once and for all this chapter is over so you can move on to the next chapter of faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Not by our power, not by our might. Come on, the Holy Ghost is about ready to breathe. How many of you are ready for that breath? Come on now. He's about ready. He's about ready. He's about ready. He's about ready to visit our homes. Why? Because we believe. He's about ready to stir things up. Why? Because we believe. He's about ready to change this community because we believe. He's changing, you know, that area right on the New York borderline, Pennsylvania and New York. You know why? Because some teenagers believed. They allowed me to be part of it. But they believed. Only believe. This week, I want you to begin to get specific with your expectation. I'm going to give you just one assignment. Write down what you're expecting. Put your faith on it. And watch God perform. Start expecting, you'll start receiving. Come on. That's what I got, so.